listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Gene Purcell. Experts say if you're looking to buy a new car, now is the time to get the best deals.
A lot of buyers will be expected to try to find some reduced prices as dealerships try to clear their lots for the new 2014 models.
Well, with all that going on, we thought it would be a good idea to get an expert in to give you some advice on what to look for when you're buying a new car and answer any questions you might have. He is Paul Eisenstein, publisher and editor of thedetroitbureau.com. Paul, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, good to be with you.
Well, let's start with what we saw happen in 2013. 2013 was predicted to be a pretty good year for the auto industry, and from what I've been able to garner, it sure looks like it was. Or is, I should say.
Yeah, it is. The year is racing to an end, but to the point of the subject today, manufacturers are hoping to squeeze out as many sales as they can before the ball drops on Times Square tomorrow.
So, and why is this so important, the end of the year, and why do they, why does it matter if they get a couple more sales before the year ends?
Well, you could argue that it really doesn't. The fact is they're going to end the year with around 15.5 million sales, about a million units more than in 2012, significantly better than most anybody predicted going into the year, and the best that we have seen of the industry since the recession began. That said, manufacturers, it's like a dog, you put puppy chow out, they're going to continue to eat until they can't, they literally run out of food. And the industry just likes to clock as many sales as they can, in part for bragging rights. You ask any executive and they say, we don't care about being number one. Baloney. If next year that manufacturer has a chance of being number one in its segment, you're going to be hearing a lot about being number one.
America's number one pickup, America's number one small car, that sort of thing.
Exactly. Exactly.
So what kind of trends did we see in 2013? What was selling well?
Well, this is an interesting year because there were some trends that nobody expected. Yes, we saw a continuing rise of small cars. Yes, we saw mid-size cars doing reasonably well. They were the hot vehicle in 2012. What really surprised everybody was the comeback of the full-size pickup truck. If anything, that's probably something we should be happy about. Oh, yes, I know that some people who hate the idea of these big gas-guzzling F-150s and Silverados running around because of how much fuel they consume. But the reality is they say that the economy is getting going again. The vast majority of people who buy these trucks today, as opposed to, a decade or so ago when there were a lot of them sold to urban cowboys. Today, they're likely to be contractors or people who need them, whether to tow a boat or to do some work. And that means people are getting back to work.
And so we can take more away from that. This is really something you can look at and say it's a great sign for the economy that more of these full-size trucks are heading out the door.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a very good sign that the industry is recovering because the economy is recovering. And that, by the way, is something that we should point out. We'll see a lot of incentives at the end of the year. We'll probably see some good ones in the beginning of the year, rebates, low-interest loans, cheap leases, and the like. But the industry has actually tried to maintain a discipline that we hadn't seen over the years leading up to the crash of the market and crash of the economy. And we had such overcapacity in the middle of the last decade, going right through to when GM and Chrysler went bankrupt, that makers were just pouring out incentives. Some of the deals you got were crazy. You'll see some of those now. It's typical for the end of the year and into January because these are normally slow selling times and manufacturers want to keep the factories going. But the reality is that they're doing a better job of matching production to demand.
And any thoughts on American versus imported manufacturers in the last year?
I'm sorry, say that one more time. For some reason, the phone broke up.
Yeah, sure. How did American manufacturers do compared to imports?
This has been an interesting year for the domestic makers. They seem to be gaining a bit more momentum, though it's not a free ride by any means. GM has been taking just award after award. They have three of the six models that are up for North American Car and Truck of the Year. You have the Chevy Impala, which was named the best sedan that Consumer Reports, often accused of being too import-friendly, the best sedan they've ever tested, the Corvette, the new Cadillac CTS, the Impala, on and on, have been winning award after award. Haven't gained as much as a lot of people would expect, considering how good the new products are, which, by the way, is matched by the fact that GM has been gaining ground in quality and reliability. It was the number one manufacturer in J.D. Power's initial quality survey, something that, again, the imports, primarily the Japanese, have dominated for decades. Ford has had some problems. They have had quality issues, some of it to do with their electronic technology, some of it to do with things like transmissions. Not that they break, they're just a little bit clunky. But they are doing well. They, in fact, today put out a release noting that they will be, for 2013, the Ford brand will be the number one brand in the United States. And Chrysler has done surprisingly well. They have some very strong product out there. Not all. Some of their products are struggling a bit, but they have gained ground, and again, they've been winning awards. Their Ram 1500 diesel was the pick for Motor Trend Truck of the Year just a couple months ago.
And that's a pretty amazing story in itself, considering where Chrysler was just a few years ago.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When you consider that the plan was that they were going to go bankrupt. The government was going to save GM, but let Chrysler go bankrupt unless they had somebody come along to rescue them. And the White Knight, of all things, turned out to be Fiat. Well, here's the more amazing thing. Fiat is having its own problems right now because, as you may know, Europe is in the sort of hole that we were a few years ago. And of all things, Chrysler right now is helping prop up Fiat.
Amazing. Well, it sounds like a good time if somebody is thinking about buying a car. It sounds like, next couple of days, kind of aside, this is still a pretty good time to be around. Sounds like there's a lot of good things to choose from. How do you convince a consumer right now that this is actually the time to buy?
Well, I'll tell you what, if anybody listening is interested in buying, let's say in the next month or so, I would seriously consider, if you can, trying to get over to the dealer quickly. If you know what you're looking for, I would probably call right away to see what sort of deal you might be able to get. I'd look online at places like KellyBlueBook.com or TrueCar.com. The Detroit Bureau, my site, of course, you'll find a lot of reviews and news and information. These folks, TrueCar, I consider one of the better ones for getting real pricing that'll tell you what's going on out there. And you may find that your local dealer will have an end-of-the-year sale that might not even show up online. There's a lot of those out there. In some cases, they will extend at least into a few days or maybe a week or so into 2014. But in some cases, we may be running out on those deals very, very quickly. Now, that said, I should point out that there are particular market segments that are stronger in terms of the consumer than others. There are some segments I think you're going to find it harder to get a deal. Here's one that I think might surprise some people. There are tremendous deals out there for luxury cars, particularly, believe it or not, BMW and Mercedes.
Tell me more.
Well, it turns out that those two makers are slamming heads and desperate to try to win. Remember we said earlier, some makers just like to be able to have bragging rights. And the fact is that both those makers want to be the number one luxury brand in the United States, and they want to make sure that they knock Lexus, which had been for a while, back into the sand with no chance of coming close. So you're seeing some tremendous deals from BMW and from Mercedes. Lexus is trying to catch up, so they're offering some good deals, and so is Audi, which, curiously enough, is the number two luxury brand worldwide, but it has been still struggling to try to get into the first tier here in the United States. They never fully recovered from that little safety scare that they had, back in the late 80s and early 90s, which
turned out not to be the unintended acceleration. Yeah, I remember that.
Right. So, yeah, which turned out not to be their problem, but they're still struggling in the U.S. while they, by the way, Audi just, sorry to cut your question off, but Audi just announced they're going to spend $30 billion worldwide to expand production, add a huge number of plants, models, all aimed at becoming the world's largest luxury maker by the end of the decade.
We're going to take a break right now. We're talking with Paul Eisenstein. He is the publisher and editor of the DetroitBureau.com about what to look for when you're buying a new car.
We'll pick up the conversation in a few moments, and we want to hear from you. Are you looking to buy a new car soon? What do you think are important things to keep in mind when car shopping? Or do you want to ask what the important things are to keep in mind? Would you recommend the make or model of car you have now? Why or why not? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or if you're in the industry, we'd love to hear from you as well. 800-642-1234 or email talk@WPR.org.
We're picking up our discussion now on what to keep in mind when you're buying a new car. Experts say now is the time to get the best deal on a new car. And we've got Paul Eisenstein, publisher and editor of the DetroitBureau.com. And he's here with some car buying advice.
And we want to hear from you. Do you want some advice on buying a car? Are you in the market for one or thinking about it and trying to decide if now is the right time? Question about a particular make and model of a car? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. Or email talk@WPR.org.
Paul Eisenstein, before the break, we were talking about luxury cars and some of the opportunities there. Let's turn that question around, if we could. What categories are we going to have trouble finding a car in or getting a deal on this time of the year?
Well, some of the hotter products are going to be tougher to get a deal on. So it depends on where you are in. In fact, in some cases, it'll depend on what market you're in. And what particular vehicle you're going for and whether you're willing to settle for what's on the lot versus finding something that may be a little bit more customized to your liking. The interesting thing is you're going to probably get a good deal on almost anything right now. Some of the stronger selling vehicles may be a little less in the bargain category. So I'm not sure you're going to be getting the best deals on some mid-size models like the Toyota Camry, which is expected to end the year as the best-selling passenger car in America. Honda's selling out on the Accord, but they're advertising, as you've probably seen if you watch TV. You know, Honda has the Michael Bolton ads talking about their Honda deals. I think right now almost anything will get you a deal, at least in the next few days. But the more popular the vehicle, the more difficult it will be to continue getting deals, particularly after the end-of-the-year rush.
And just on how does the Internet and just that ability of people to search out prices, search out specific cars, how has that changed the world of dealers, and how has it made their job different?
Oh, it's made it in some ways more difficult because in the old days, you could probably plant anybody in a dealer's showroom that had a little bit of a, as we say, a schmoozing skill, somebody who could just talk your ear off. But these days, they can't just ramble on. They better darn well know what the car is all about, and they better know not just the specifics of that model, but they better know a lot about the competition. Because as many dealers have told me, the folks walking into the showroom today are likely to know more than the typical salesperson. They've done their homework online. Not only do they know what the horsepower numbers are, how many cup holders there are, what the fuel economy is, what options are available, and so on, but they're very likely to also know if they go in for a Camry, they may know everything about the Honda or the Ford Fusion or so on. And this makes it much more difficult for a salesperson to win you over, especially if they don't have the facts at their fingertip.
We've got some listeners who would like to join with some questions, and let's begin in Milwaukee. And Ken is with us. Hi, Ken.
Hello.
And what's your question?
I'm considering buying a Subaru Forester. Is this a good time to buy one?
Yeah, now the Subaru is a brand that has really taken off in the last few years. As a matter of fact, Subaru was the only brand to make it through every year of the recession by gaining sales and market share. It's rather phenomenal how well they've done. They used to be a bargain brand, somebody that you could almost always walk in and expect to get a deal. It's going to be a little bit tougher these days. You've got a new Forester out there, which has done very well in terms of ratings and reviews, and again, you may be able to get some good bargains now at the end of the year, but I think I think you're going to find that the Subaru products are harder to get a bargain on than you may have expected a few years ago.
So what do you attribute their success to? Is it just good advertising? Have they upped the game on their product line?
I think they've really upped their game. Now, they've added a few new models, but they've really recognized that they need to be more than just a niche product. Subaru has been funny for a long time in that they have always been able to target a particular niche. They went all-wheel drive before all-wheel drive became hip. They went after unique market niches before those became something that, you know, in this internet world, we now know that makers will isolate specific groups of buyers and target them either through mass marketing or social media. For one thing, the Subaru brand was one of the first to openly acknowledge that there are gays out there and actually marketed to gays and to nurses and to rugged outdoor people, and that was very effective. They've also really improved a lot of the weaknesses in their products. So they tended to have a very cheap, plasticky feel to their interiors. If you get into a Subaru now, you'll find that they feel much more lavish and well-equipped.
Let's go to Brian, and Brian is with us from Kewaskum. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I do about 100 miles a day driving, and I've been in the market for a newer vehicle. And I've been looking at the Chevy Cruze diesel. What can you tell me about that?
Well, I'll tell you this. When people ask me whether they should go with a diesel or a hybrid or any other high-mileage product, I always recommend that they look at what type of driving they do. If you are driving a lot of miles in the city, and I do emphasize a lot of miles, and it's more stop-and-go traffic, you're probably going to do better off with a hybrid in, again, the city where you may not really need that much performance. If you're driving the type of distance you're talking about, which sounds like you may be putting on miles on the highway, diesels start to really sing. The fuel prices are high, so you lose a little bit of the advantage. But another advantage they have over a hybrid is that the performance of a diesel is that much better. Hybrids, by and large, with a few exceptions, tend to be rather sluggish. Diesels tend to be rather sporty. In some cases, they have better performance than the comparable gasoline vehicles. I like the Chevy Cruze diesel, and I applaud GM for being the first of the domestic makers to come out with a diesel. In fact, and I'm talking, of course, in passenger car side, in fact, we have no diesels yet from the Japanese in the passenger car market. We keep waiting for Mazda to bring out their version in the Mazda 6, but they've pushed it back till next spring.
So is America ready for a diesel? You know, I just remember all those old Mercedes diesels and, you know, GM's fiasco back in the 80s.
Things
have changed, I know that, but is America ready?
Well, here's the thing. If you go over to Europe and get into a diesel there, you'll find that you may not even realize you're in a diesel. It happened to me one time on a BMW preview I attended. I got into the diesel model by mistake, not the American engine, and it took me about 5-10 minutes until I came to a couple lights and the car was still a little cold that I finally noticed, wait a second, am I in a diesel? And it was just barely discernible for somebody who's an expert in the field. The fact is today's diesels are smooth, quiet, clean, quick. They have all the advantages that were their disadvantages in the past. That's why if you look in the luxury segment, you're seeing a flood of new models. Audi has just brought out 3 new diesels for 2014, and will bring out yet another one in a few months' time.
Let's go to the calls again, and Jen is with us, it looks like, from Ottawa, Minnesota.
Yeah, I was just sitting here rummaging through my glove compartment. Unfortunately, I'm driving, so I'm going to stop this. But I was trying to find the paperwork with the maker or the dealer that we dealt with on our new Toyota or our used new for us Toyota Tundra. I figured this was a good time to do a plug for them. They were such a great dealer to work with. I'm in Minnesota, and we spent months searching online and doing our homework. I have horses, and I've had GMC Sierra and the Chevy and Dodge Ram and a Mazda pickups throughout my lifetime, and this time we went with the Toyota Tundra. I tried to buy locally, but unfortunately, the price that we got on a Tennessee vehicle was $5,000 less, and so my husband He happened to have some clients out in that area, and so he made it a business trip and drove my truck home for me and ran him about $1,000 in gas, so we still had a nice savings.
That sounds good. And the Toyota Tundra, of course, the big Toyota pickup. And Jen also mentioned the used car market there, that they bought this one used. What's used cars look like these days? A year or two ago, the prices were way up, but I think they might be getting better now.
Yeah, used prices have been astronomical lately, and they vary month to month to month. I mean, I try to report on the used car market every month or two, and it depending on what day of the week I do and whose report I pick up on, prices can be up, can be down, can be up, can be down. And you really have to be very careful when you're in the used car market. You also have to be very careful about where you buy it. Make sure always get a Carfax or one of the other checks that you can be sure about, you know, what the history of the vehicle is. Unfortunately, in many states, they make it very easy for the unscrupulous dealers and individuals to wash the title. In other words, if it was wrecked and rebuilt, or if it's been flood damaged or the like, in many cases, it can be difficult to find that out. So you really have to do your homework. Now, I will say that Tundra is not a bad pickup truck. But there's a reason why it is the only vehicle that Toyota has never had any come even close to catching the domestic manufacturers. The fact that Ram has won every award this last year, and the Silverado has a very good shot at winning Truck of the Year in just a few weeks says a lot. Ford is going to have probably the biggest preview at the Detroit Auto Show, which is an international show despite being in Detroit, when they bring out an all-new F-150. I just don't think that the latest model, the update of the Toyota Tundra that they just brought out, is anywhere near as good as the domestic makers. And frankly, even some of the Toyota people admit that they're treading water, waiting until they can do yet another more dramatic redesign of the vehicle in a few years.
All right. Well, Paul, we're out of time, but thanks for taking the time to be with us today.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be with you. Happy holiday to you and all the listeners.
Yep, I got to leave early and go make a deal on a new car. That was Paul Eisenstein. He's publisher and editor of the DetroitBureau.com.